please join me in a spirit of prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'd like you to put on your imagination caps right now and go back to when you were a kid and think of a summer evening when you may have laid out on your lawn or in a field and looked up at the sky and engaged with some stargazing. And if you were like me, you probably didn't think too much about what was going on up there, but you just thought it was really incredible. And as time has passed on, it has become harder for us to look out at the night sky. The problem is obvious, light pollution. And we've got it here in Lebanon, and even worse down in urban areas. But there are still places where you can go to enjoy the full panoply of the night sky. I remember being in a boat off the coast of Maine, and the night sky was glorious. I remember Rachel and I went up to one of the cemeteries here when there was a meteor shower, and we were able to see things there that we could not see down in our School Street neighborhood. The stars are amazing, but we all know that there is no way we can count all the stars in the sky. We know that there are far too many of them to count in a lifetime, and we know that the night sky changes as time passes. So what is going on here in Scripture? Abram's had a vision, and in it he is told by God, after he complains, that he should go look at the stars of the sky and count them, because he would have descendants like the stars of the sky. Now, I don't know that we often really reflect on the kind of relationship that Abram had with God. But it was one that was founded in trust and Abram's belief in what God told him he would do. And trust and belief are what come together to make faith possible. Now think about it. Abram had been living his life in the city of Ur, the Chaldees, and he had a vision. He was told by God, go west. And so he did. And out west in Canaan, he built a new life for himself, and he amassed some wealth and some herds. But he's getting old, and he wondered about what was going to happen to everything he had done in his life. And he wanted an heir. Because frankly, at that point in time, failure to produce an heir meant that your line came to an end and your achievements would amount to nothing. And so Abram's here, an old man, and he's wondering when God is going to deliver the goods, to fulfill the promises he had made. And God says, you are going to have an heir. You need to believe. Now, after the last few years, the words trust me from an authority figure don't quite have the same weight we would like them to have. But God here is essentially saying, trust me. And God, unlike a politician of today, has credibility with us. At least I hope he does. And that's where our faith needs to come into play. We need to look to the Scripture and look to events in our life and see how God has worked. Now, all throughout human history, people have had a tendency to look at God and to have seen God as, frankly, a divine ATM that you could go up to, press some buttons, and whatever you wanted would come out. God doesn't work that way. And frankly, we're fortunate God does not work that way. Oscar Wilde said something along the lines a few years ago of, be careful what you wish for, because you may get it. Now, we don't like to know what happens in the future. Or at least, we would agree with that when we say it, but then we can think about it. And that kind of knowledge would really be very heavy and very serious for us to deal with. So those of us who are parents look at our kids and we want to imagine that they're going to have great futures and everything's going to work out for them and they're going to do great things. But we are not going to live their entire lifespan if everything goes according to the plan as we would like it. They are going to live beyond us. And we need to have faith in them and in God that our kids are going to be able to carry on into the future. Those of us without children have other things to think about and other hopes to nurture. And whether we take care of other people's kids, or if we take care of our neighbors, or we want to help ourselves live a good, healthy life, those hopes require some faith. And they require that we trust in God. Now, I know this isn't necessarily the feel-good sermon you don't want. And I can't just tell you everything is going to be okay. But I will say from my experience, when I have encountered difficult times, I have been able to pray to God. And I've been able to complain to God. And guess what? That's okay. We're going to come up at the end of Lent to Good Friday, and we're going to read Psalm 22. And Jesus quotes from that psalm when he's on the cross, and he says, my Lord, why have you forsaken me? This is Jesus who's saying to God, pardon my language, where the hell are you? Jesus was able to vent his frustration and his pain. And he was able to do that because he had a solid relationship with God. And that's what God wants with each of us. If you look at today's text, there's a what seems to us to be a very strange and potentially barbaric ritual that's enacted. We don't engage in animal sacrifice today. Norms have changed. Our ways of worship have changed. But rather than judging the ancients as being strange or benighted, we should just recognize that their context was different than ours, and maybe something was going on that meant something to them. So the thing that's described here in Genesis is the establishment of a covenant. And we all know covenant is a word that's got an aura around it, that it's better than a contract. And it is better than a contract. As one of my clergy colleagues said, covenant is something that is established between companions, and a contract is established between strangers. Now, we also know that from the ancient world, covenants were a big deal, and they often were established between one ruler and another, and often there was a power disparity between them, and the less powerful ruler would offer something to the more powerful ruler in exchange for protection. Here we see God, who's the most powerful ruler of all, establishing a covenant with Abraham. Why? Why is God doing that? Well, I believe it's because God sees us as companions. God wants to be in relationship with each of us and with all of us. And so, God makes a commitment. And if we look at history, we know that God kept his promises to Israel. Now, sometimes, and often, history was not kind to Abram's descendants. But they endured, and they continued, and they're still with us. And we, by our beliefs, are heirs to the faith that they have. And that's something for which we should give thanks. Now, somebody here might be wondering, what does any of this have to do with Lent? And I would like to suggest that Lent is a good season for us to reflect on the relationship that we have built with God, and how we've ignored it at times, and how we look to other sources of support or comfort. Nothing in this world is as good or as great as God. Think about that. Nothing and nobody in this world is as good or as great as God. And during Lent, we are called to remind ourselves of this. Excuse me. We are called to remind ourselves of God's greatness, and along with God's greatness, God's graciousness, because God cares about each and every one of us. So, I don't know that any of you are going to have visions, and if you do, I suspect you're not going to want to tell anybody about them, because we tend to be skeptical of these kinds of things today. But if God comes to you in a dream, if God comes to you when you're out walking, if God comes to you when you are stargazing, or making a snow angel, or skiing, or doing something, know that God is there because God wants to be with you. And you have the opportunity to reach out to God in prayer, have a conversation. God wants to hear from you. There are people who say, I don't want to bother God with my prayers because God's got too much to do. Well, guess what? God can multitask. God can hear each of our individual prayers all at the same time and make sense of them. It is okay to talk with God. And it's okay to vent our frustrations with God. Sometimes knowing someone is going to listen to us means so much more than we can imagine. Sometimes someone saying, I'm sorry, can mean so much. Think about it. We've all had customer service stories that are awful, and when someone turns around and says, I'm sorry, not I'm sorry if difficulties or inconveniences were experienced, but if someone says I'm sorry and takes ownership of that, that has power and meaning to us. God is going to hear you whatever you say, and God is going to act on your concerns, maybe not in ways that you want to recognize, but God is present. And that is a promise he's making to Abram, is that God will always be there. God will always be there. God will not abandon him. And he does not abandon his heirs and descendants. And God does not abandon us. And I think that is good news and something that we can contemplate as we engage in some stargazing. Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Holy and mysterious God, we give you thanks for your presence and your love and affection. We know that you did not have to establish a covenant with us, but you did. And for that we give thanks. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.